Hi, I'm Evan Lucas-Cunningham, and welcome to the Feel Better Every Day podcast, helping you connect with and take better care of yourself and create a life you don't need to retreat from.
Welcome to episode 14 of the Feel Better Every Day podcast. Today's guest is my friend Susie Walker, formerly Susie Greaves. She was editor at Psychologies and now runs Heartleap on Substack. She's a phenomenal human, and she is talking about her journey with journaling, meditation, Buddhism, leaping from heart to life. She's the author of The Big Leap, obviously, and her journey from head to heart and becoming more embodied, and also to learning to ask for help, which is an often forgotten element of self-care. We often think we have to do everything ourselves. So that's what I'm going to ask you to ponder as you listen and hopefully enjoy today's episode. When did you last ask for help, and how might you ask for help today? Welcome, Susie Walker. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, hello. Happy to see you, Eve.
Ah, and I still can't really believe I know you. I met you when you were editor of Psychologies magazine, and my book was being published.
And you read it, okay, I remember.
I was so scared about sending you an email asking for an endorsement, and I was scared about everything, but I remember emailing Oprah asking for an endorsement, and I never heard back from her, but it gave me the courage then to, like, it's like, I did that, I can maybe email Susie.
And I love it when you're putting Oprah and my name in the same.
It felt like that. It's like, well, but and you were so kind to me, and we became Facebook friends, and I've got to know you much better. And I was so delighted that you said you'd be a part of this. Susie Walker is an author and former editor of Psychologies. She runs the gorgeous Heartleap group on Substack, author of The Big Leap. So the whole leaping element consistent, very inspirational, one of the UK's best known coaches. And how long have you been doing this, Susie?
Goodness, I became a journalist when I was about 26. So I had a kind of normal job in Leeds, and one day I just had the moment of, I can't do this anymore. I was sort of fantasizing about crashing the car, because I was like, I hated my life and my job, and so I went on to train as a journalist. So. And that started me off on a brand new path. So I went from the north to London, and I was like, well, here I go. I live my dreams. That's what I thought. Yeah.
So you've been leaping for a long time, and I really believe that is any kind of pain, like you're saying, like you were fantasizing about killing yourself essentially, but you used that as a, this situation is intolerable, I'm going to leap to something that's going to bring more joy, that's going to be more on purpose. But what are you working on at the moment?
So I'm most excited about my Heartleap Substack. So Heartleap is my new kind of brand that I'm working on, which is about kind of creating a life that makes your heart leap. Yeah. So whether it's the stories that you write, whether it's the stories that you tell yourself. So as a writer, I am encouraging people to write and find their own voice. But also as a coach, it's about how do you have the courage really to live a life that literally makes your heart leap. So, and it does take courage every day. It's not like, it's not something that you make one leap and that's it. Yeah. And I think that's the mistake I've made in the past in my own leaps, is that thinking that there is a, you'll do one leap and then everything will be different. It is literally kind of creating a life where every decision you're making, at decision points, you're kind of going, does that make my heart leap? No, it doesn't.
I love that, absolutely love it. And can you tell me a bit about what your ideal morning routine would be in terms of self-care and also uppercase self-care? So that highest, wisest, truest, wildest, most brilliant, joyful and miraculous part of yourself.
Oh, such a lovely, Eve, that's so lovely. You know, well, I think in a way, I think everything that I'm trying to do is pointing to the uppercase care at the moment. I suppose I've got to a point in my life, I'm sort of 55 now, and I've chased kind of external success for a long time. And you know, looking outside of myself for validation and success, and I'm really very much on a spiritual path right now. I became a Buddhist last year and took my precepts, and so
wow.
Meditating and kind of finding a relationship, I call it, with the force.
Yeah,
is probably my major focus right now. And you know, I meditate. I've just started meditating every day.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly on my Heartleap Substack. I think in my spiritual journey, I've tried many, many things, and you know, I've talked about the universe, and I kind of, even when I was young in my 20s, I knew that that was the answer.
Yeah.
But I kind of reaching for all the external stuff because it's in a way easier, and that's the way of the world, is it? I'm not
gonna, yeah, absolutely.
Not going to beat myself up for that, but I think now it's like I do know what the answer is, and I really just need to commit and to do the work on a daily basis. So I start my day right now with meditating, and I listen to guided meditation. So I meditate sitting up, just listening to my breath, but I also then journal about how I feel. So I think those are my two practices which help me. I'm an extrovert, so I process out loud.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, I'm also living on my own. So I've been bringing up my son. I'm a single parent, so I've always had another person in the room with, in the house with me. So it's, and even though he was my son, we still process things together. Just like me, and we process out. And it, you know, when I used to work at psychologies, my team would go, are you just processing out loud, or do you want me to do something with that? I'm like, no, I'm just processing it out loud. I just need to say all that to understand what I'm going to do next.
Yeah.
But that's quite difficult when you live on your own. So I've really thought, oh, how am I going to do this then?
Yeah.
For me, is like really, really important, because I can sort of unpick things that something's come up and like, what does that mean? And then, but I do a lot of like, making it into a person. So okay, that sounds like it's angry, so let's give angry a
brilliant
patience. Yeah. What are you gonna say? And my god, it's fantastic because you give your emotions a voice.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. And I do that all the time. I literally I think, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm feeling very angry or resentful or envious or whatever it is, and I bring it stage, and they, I mean, when I had a Mrs. Angry the other day, she's like, I've been shut up for so long. You've been trying to be so nice and sweet. Let me out. Rah!
Yeah,
and
brilliant.
Okay. So it's good. I like an imaginative way of connecting with my emotions.
That's
part of my practice. Now, the bit that I really struggle with, so I then I go, oh, and then I'm going to do my 7-minute exercise or my yoga. And I've been trying to I've been told that muscle building is really
happening. Yeah.
55, and that's a bit I never do. So
okay.
When I'm walking my dog, so I've walked my dog five times a race, so I'm literally walking 2 hours a day.
Brilliant.
Sometimes even more. So I do get that kind of mental exercise, which is fantastic. But in terms of yoga, my yoga practice, I mean, I fantasize about becoming a yoga teacher, I really do. But then my friend, when I told her that, she laughed and she said, well, but you don't do any yoga, Susie. And I'm like, well, I kind of do in my head.
But that's part of the journey. You would do more as you, like, just because you don't now doesn't mean that you couldn't.
No, I know. But I think for me, what I'm learning with the meditation and when you commit to something is, it's very much a feeling of, I'm in my head a lot. I mean, I don't know how many of us are, but I think because as my job as a writer and maybe as a coach, we're looking at thoughts and we're looking at, I mean, I know feelings are in the heart, but and it's, my journey is from the head to the heart, I suppose. And talking to you for our interview for Metro.
Yeah.
I found that really inspiring and very, it was really this idea of embodiment.
Yeah.
So I heard someone, I'd only had just heard about it recently, and I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I didn't understand, because I was like, no, no, it's all about processing things intellectually or maybe emotionally, but in terms of actually grounding myself in my body, I think I've been so far away from that. So I think my ideal morning practice would be a way of grounding myself in my body, in my breath. You know, one of the things I'm trying to do is not have a coffee first thing. You know, I mean, sometimes I can have up to 6 coffees a day, and it keeps me in adrenaline state and blah, blah, blah. And what I notice is that I like that buzz. It's a kind of almost like I know people are addicted to caffeine, but I think it's more than just a physical addiction. It's that sense of, whoa, come on, it keeps you going. And then when you stop, I can actually feel quite down. So, and I think the route into that is this grounding and trying to find some contentment in my body, and connecting it all. So I think so I'm making this journey downwards, I think, for my head, and I'm partly definitely much more connected to my heart.
Brilliant.
I think there's a grounding piece of being in my body that I think I need to focus on, but I avoid.
And I'd argue already doing that to a degree, like in psychosynthesis, we work with subpersonalities, all those different parts of ourselves. You're already addressing the angry part of you, the scared part of you, by noticing the emotions that are coming up for you each day, and by being curious about how they're trying to help you. That's amazingly, and to make it more embodied, you might notice, where do you feel that angry part? Like, where in your body is the most prominent sensation, or like the most joyful part, or just, you're already doing amazingly, you're doing so much, but just see if any physical sensations come along with it and get curious about those as well.
Yeah, I think I get kind of scared by it. I think there must be some kind of trauma somewhere, trapped back somewhere. It's like when I think, because if you feel it in your body, I think it's something to do with, you feel like it will overwhelm you. So I think keeping up here, it almost feels like I'm trying to control it.
Yeah.
Because it's very whole body, isn't it? When you feel something with your whole body, my God.
So before doing that, ground. Press into the soles of the feet, press into whatever you're sitting or lying or standing on. Remind yourself that you've got the earth holding you, that you're safe, and that whatever you feel, you're already feeling it, you're just making it conscious. That you in your body right now are safe. But we've all been disconnected from our bodies. Hundreds of years of religious oppression and disconnecting people around the globe from those inherent embodied practices that were part of life, and now more and more people are coming back to that way of being, but there is fear involved.
And I can't, it's interesting actually talking about it. It's the first time I've actually said that out loud, and that's really interesting, because it's how we, what are we afraid of, what am I afraid of, by feeling into my body, and I suppose maybe it's addressing what's going on. Do you know what I mean? Really? I don't want to look at that. We all know that. We know that feeling of not wanting to address something and blah, 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 blah.
And what you described in your early 20s, you wanted to crash your car. That was something you felt in your body so desperately. And when we attend, you're already attending to your breath. You're coming into your body through your breath. It's more gentle. It doesn't have to be a roller coaster. The more we do it, we listen to those whispers before they become screams or accidents.
Well, I think for me, you know, I lost my parents when I was a teenager, and so they both died of cancer very early. And so I think, you know, obviously that was traumatic.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had no tools to be able to, you know, I didn't know. Do you know what I mean? And then you're kind of And because I was in that weird age, you kind of fall cracks and think, oh, she's all right now. She's at university. She'll be all right. And then you kind of left just to get on with it. And that's why I'm so passionate about the self-development world.
Yeah.
Saved me, because that's the thing that I grabbed hold of. I'm like, oh, okay, hang on. This is what I can do. But I think I grabbed hold on a lot of the cognitive stuff. So I was Anthony Robbins, and it was rah, rah, rah. And it was all about kind of almost feeling high and happy.
Yeah.
And I think part of the journey for me is definitely also being able to acknowledge all the darkness, the sadness, the grief.
Yeah.
And it maybe has been a little bit backed up with a lot of darkness. And so because it was so horrible to feel my dark feelings then, because it was overwhelming, it's kind of it's just a memory of that I'm avoiding. Yeah. But actually, it might just be that I'm cross that, you know, somebody annoyed me or something. Do you know what I mean? It may not just be, it's just that kind of memory of, oh, don't go to the dark side, because it's going to feel overwhelming. So yeah.
And yet you're doing it. I think I'd love to know also about, like, you've mentioned walking the dog 4 times a day, and what about an ideal winding down routine? I'm hearing you've got so much lovely energy, and the caffeine as well helping you. What helps you unwind? What helps you prepare for bed? What helps you prepare for as good a night's sleep as possible?
Well, my ideal is when I moved into my new apartment in Northumberland, so I moved from London back up north.
Yeah.
One thing that I splurged on was a bath. I got myself a beautiful roll top bath. So for me, I use these oils called Aromatherapy Association.
Yes.
So, you know, as an editor, I've been given so many beautiful things I've been very privileged, but these are ones I actually buy for myself. And it's like, it's better than anything that I've tried. So I put those in my bath, and I have a bath, and that is a really great routine. But for whatever reason, I can drink as much coffee as I want, and I can still just crash out.
Yeah.
So I haven't really got, I mean, I'm very blessed. I don't have a sleep issue. I just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But what I'll often do is I've got millions and millions of apps of things. So I'll do a yoga nidra in bed.
Lovely.
You know, so if I am buzzing with something, that's what I'll do as I listen. And I bought myself some of those earphones that stick in.
Uh-huh.
My challenge in the morning is, where have they gone? Because I just bought I've got a thing in my armpit, so. Could be worse, but
thank you so much. What do you wish that you had known earlier? Like, you've been on such a journey, but when you think about, like, kind of 16-year-old you, 17-year-old you, what do you wish she knew?
I think I really wish that I knew that I could reach out to people, and that there was kindness in the world, and that I just didn't reach out. I didn't ask for help. Because I just kept on going, and that became quite a thing that I learned not to do. And I think it took me a long time to reach out for help. And when you do reach for help, it's there, and people can help you and support you. But I did it a lot through books and podcasts and all of those things. I think I was just scared of being, asking for help is a vulnerable act.
Absolutely.
I think I was afraid of that. So I wish I'd known that, because I think it would have been more fun and more easier for me if I'd had.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's really lovely to support others, but also support myself now, and to do that, to be on that journey of supporting myself through self-care. And that's why I think that's probably why I loved your book when we received it in the office. And when M&A, who's our beauty and wellbeing director, gave it to me, and she said, you've got to read this. And so it came from her as well as from you.
Amazing.
And it's very fussy.
Oh, thank you.
I think deep down, that kind of, people think self-care can just, you know, go wrong. It is just about having fun, but it goes much deeper. It's a profound, courageous act to look after ourselves.
Yeah. And you're doing it in so many ways throughout the day. You are connecting with yourself. You're listening to yourself rather than being told what to buy or do. Or like, thank you so much for sharing all of this. Where can people find you?
Well, come and see me on Heartleap Substack, because that's the place I'm most excited about, because I'm doing all sorts of new things. I'm experimenting, I'm writing articles, I'm interviewing amazing people, but all basically I'm committed to sort of creating this Heartleap life. What does that look like? And encouraging other people to come on the journey with me.
So there'll be information about that in the show notes. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And thank you for being such an inspiration.
Eve, thank you. And keep on doing what you're doing, because, you know, you don't know who you're touching. And with your work, what I love about your work is it's a menu. It's like what I used to do at the magazine. You've got a menu of things. So no matter where you're at or what you're doing, you can reach out and find a tool that can help you. I had your book out the other day with my friends who were scared of flying.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, look at this camping thing, come on. And they were like, what are you talking about? And they'd never heard of it. And they went from being terrified on the plane to being like, I'm okay.
Brilliant.
So, you are changing lives with the work you do.
Thank you. And I hope you know how many lives you change and touch. Yeah.
Let's keep doing it, Eve. Let's keep on doing it. So yeah.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Feel Better Everyday podcast. As you listened, I hope that it encouraged you to maybe come back to a meditation practice, journaling, to wonder for yourself whether you are grounding before attempting to become more embodied, or whether you're feeling unsafe around it. Do get in touch to let me know if you've got any questions. It's so important to honour our bodies, honour our nervous systems. I'd also love to know if you reflected on how you might ask for help, maybe today, maybe this week. What does it bring up for you? How do you feel in your body as you even contemplate asking for help? Let me know. And also, if you haven't already, please rate, review, share, comment, subscribe. It's a small independent podcast and I'd love it to get bigger. And I look forward to sharing next week's episode with the wonderful another friend, Jill Fenning. Thanks again for listening and have a delightful week.